each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for tuning into the Winds of Change. Thank you. It's Wednesdays, so the wonderful Father Anthony Bush has graciously donated Wednesdays to yours truly, Father Tom Boyd, and you're here to take the red pill.
You know, he is the one.
Once you take the red pill, your eyes are opened. You don't want to stand among those Catholics who have taken the blue pill. The blue pill are the ones who slumber and get fed their truth, their version of truth by others not always so enamored or understanding or in love with what Catholicism has to offer the world, which is nothing less than the way to peace and the way to eternal life. How about that little bit of an introduction there, Father Tom Coyes? And I think it's time to tackle a topic that I've always wanted to do, like a whole show on, and this I may not even be able to get through it in one whole show. But with what's going on in the church today, you might have heard about priests that are being slapped down, even by bishops. The accusation, of course, is that priests that are kind of outspoken are accused of two things. Number one, divisiveness, and number two, becoming too politically involved. We do need to pray that we can figure this out a bit better. I think if we take a step back and look at the history of our church through 2,000 years, the charge that church people...
Hello there, Peabody here. Once again, it is time to take another revealing peek back into history.
What famous date shall I set it to today, Mr. Peabody?
Hey, well, in terms of what date we're going to focus on, that would be like 14 and 1500s, which would remind us of the Spanish Inquisition. So I think that's a topic that we could review to learn from and be aware that, especially those the two charges of being divisive and or too political. Simply put, I think whenever the issue of unity and division arises within the church, but in anything, how life in the family, life in your bowling league, life in the city and state governments and all the rest. But whenever the issue of unity and division comes up, you cannot, and I got to emphasize this so much, we cannot absent the question of what is truth. Truth is the ultimate unifier. If you ignore or if you accept a a vision, a philosophy of relative truth, then division multiplies. It doesn't diminish. And a point about the church's role with government. We live in the United States of America, of course, and it's a unique time in the history of 2,000 years. It's a very recent thing, which comes from the beauty and the majesty, shall I say, of the success of the United States of America. But through 2,000 years of history, hardly any pope, bishop, priest, Catholic lay person, little altar boy, or chief nobleman, or confessor to the greatest kings or emperors, would have been scandalized by church people trying to influence and deal with society's problems that overlap between civil authorities and church authorities, especially and primarily about those issues that have to do with finding the moral right, the moral rightness of something, and calling out something that's immoral. So going back, so here the topic of the day, and I want to.
Wow.
You read an article every now and then.
You just wrinkle my brain, man.
This is going to be a brain wrinkling hour, I guarantee you. I want to read big segments of an article. Sometimes you read an article and you can try to paraphrase it, but sometimes the best thing to do is share it. This is from a good Catholic writer by the name of Thomas Madden. He writes for Crisis Magazine, and it's about the Spanish Inquisition. So let's just go back into history, and we'll review and try to clarify some of the great myths and misconceptions when that phrase Spanish Inquisition is brought up, as I say, because there's a kind of spirit of inquisitional boards, as it were, that are trying to investigate certain behavior and words on the part of lay people but especially clerics alike. And, you know, that is part of the role of the church. The one thing at the outset I have to say is these issues that are popping up today remind us, or maybe bring up the conception or the memory of the Inquisition. But at the outset, we have to see a great distinction between the punitive aspects of what went on in the Inquisition and the punitive aspects of what is going on today. Excuse me. Obviously, we know that people being executed in the 1400s and 1500s in the Inquisition, it's kind of hard to come up with a worse, more final punishment for being wrong about anything, whether it's theology, morality, politics, sports, or your favorite restaurant. Anyways, obviously, execution, especially being burned at the stake, is pretty bad. Obviously, the punitive aspect that is around today, after, shall we say, 200 years of American history, when the spirit of religious tolerance has always been strong and a deep part of the American experiment, as it were. The punitive aspect we're confronting today is a little less severe than being burned at the stakes. What we're talking about is primarily being refused Holy Communion when you go to church. That's the worst kind of punishment that the church is contemplating imposing on some people. And you know, I remember talking with my own brother, who I love dearly, and fortunately the good Lord took home last year. I had a brother who drifted away from the Catholic Church, a marriage issue and divorce and remarriage and annulments and getting married outside the church and everything had a lot to do with it. There are many in the Catholic Church that would have said, well, if the church would have not been concerned with divorce and remarriage and annulments and all that, just turned our Catholic sacrament into the kind of event that happens at Protestant churches. That is to say, a nice religious ceremony, but void of the questions and the issues involved with taking vows to Almighty God, saying, till death do you part, to multiple people. That's what's really behind the Catholic Church's approach to marriage and remarriage and necessity of an annulment, right? So be that as it may, the issues that we're going to dive back into in the Spanish Inquisition are radically different than what we're talking about today. And I think that's a good way to sort of dive into any kind of assessment of the Spanish Inquisition. But even as we do that, we're gonna find an assessment, especially through the wonderful research and documentation that Thomas Madden gives us in this very wonderful little article that I want to share with you today. So let's introduce it. He says, as he begins, records that are being opened now in the Vatican and other places are a gold mine for modern historians to plunge into the records of the Spanish Inquisition. And thus far, the fruits of these researchers have made one thing abundantly clear. The myth of the Spanish Inquisition has nothing at all to do with the real thing. When you say, well, what do you mean by the myth of the Spanish Inquisition? Well, a myth is perpetuated by popular culture, of course, and even Thomas Mann remembers this scene from Monty Python. I think you would agree.
Let's go on, tell them.
I can get there.
I don't understand what you're saying.
One of the crossbeams has gone out askew on the treadle.
What on earth does that mean?
I don't know. Mr. Wentworth just told me to come in here and say that there was trouble at the mill, that's all. I didn't expect a kind of Spanish Inquisition.
Three cardinals jump out of the closet.
It's the Spanish Inquisition. Our chief weapon is surprise. Surprise and fear. Fear and surprise are two weapons. Our fear and surprise and ruthless efficiency are three weapons. Our fear and surprise and ruthless efficiency and an almost fanatical devotion to the Pope are four. No. Amongst our weaponry are such elements as fear. I'll come in again.
Okay, maybe you remember that, maybe you don't, but it's obviously the English way of, in their sense of humor, of course, of trying to do a little bit of calming of the divisions between Catholics and Protestants, but it perpetuates that dark myth that Thomas Madden is talking about, and it's funny to an extent, but it's also very sad and frustrating that the facts of history are blatantly ignored, and it is a way of keeping the negative aspect of Catholicism, especially in its relentless pursuit of truth, which you could say admittedly gets out of hand, but without which Christianity would disappear altogether. And I think here's what Thomas Madden says when he mimics and he talks about the skit from Monty Python. He says, anyone not living under a rock for the past 30 years will likely recognize this famous scene from from Monty Python. In these sketches, three scarlet-clad inept inquisitors torture their victims with such instruments as pillows and comfy chairs. The whole thing is funny because the audience knows full well that the Spanish Inquisition was neither inept nor comfortable, but ruthless, intolerant, and deadly. He goes on to say, one need not have read Edgar Allan Poe's Pit and the Pendulum to have heard of the dark dungeons, sadistic churchmen, and excruciating tortures of the Spanish Inquisition. The rack and the Iron Maiden, the bonfires on which the Catholic Church dumped its enemies by the millions. These are all familiar icons of the Spanish Inquisition set firmly into our culture. This image of the Spanish Inquisition is a useful one for those who have little love for the Catholic Church. Anyone wishing to beat the Church about the head and shoulders will not tarry long before grabbing two favorite clubs, the Crusades or the Spanish Inquisition. So in order to understand the Spanish Inquisition, which began in 1480s or so, we must look briefly at its predecessor, the medieval Inquisition. It's a good point that Thomas Mann is making. Did you not know that there was an Inquisition before the Spanish Inquisition?
Wow.
The medieval Inquisition?
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah, it was all over mainland Europe. And of course, Spain was the little peninsula in the southwest of Europe. So let's go a little deeper here, but we're going to take our break here. Nick, I hope we're coming along clear as a bell. I'm Father Tom Coys. Thank you all for listening, either live at the radio or as a podcast, which you can get at Podbean and look for Winds of Change Radio Show. Anyways, I'm Father Tom Coys. You're listening to WNDZ. This is listener-supported The Winds of Change.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through eighth grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Tom Coyce here with you, and I'm trying to bring us back to a very difficult topic, which is often used as a club to beat up Catholics, basically, and that is the Spanish Inquisition. Hopefully you saw, or you heard before the break, the little lampoon that was made famous by Monty Python. No one expects the Spanish Inquisition. But of course, a comedy skit by people who belong to a culture that has a tremendous history of anti-Catholicism. My friends, it's not likely to get the history right. So we need to be a little more rational and objective about the matter. Okay, so I said right before the break, and there, in order to understand the Spanish Inquisition, we have to understand how Inquisitions were in the medieval church. And that's the, 12, 13, 1400s. We get the Spanish Inquisition in the late 1400s and 1500s, okay? So it's worth pointing out that the medieval world was not like our modern world. For medieval people, religion was not something one just did at church. It was their science. That is, religion contained what we might think of as our scientific mind. Religion would be their philosophy, their politics, your identity, and ultimately, of course, the hope for salvation. It was not a personal preference, but an abiding and universal truth. Heresy, therefore, struck at the heart of that truth. It doomed the heretic, endangered those near him, and tore apart the fabric of the whole society. For medieval Europeans, they were not alone in this view. It was shared by numerous cultures around the world. The modern practice of universal religious toleration is itself quite new and unique in our Western world today. Isn't it a little odd that our new politicos of today seem to focus their anger and attention at their adversaries as those of religious ilks, and especially Catholicism again has a big target in their scope as they exercise their weapons. I can't help but make the connection now, as the Monty Python skit has the cardinals jumping out of the closet and say, our weapons are surprise and ruthless attacks. The surprise notion reminds me of what's going on in Springfield today, my friends. You're listening to the show recorded on Wednesday, May 26th. It was just announced yesterday, or perhaps just the day before, either on Sunday or Monday, that the state of Illinois, the House of Representatives, is going to vote on a bill today to require or to kind of remove the exemption that private schools, especially religious-based schools, have often enjoyed a bit of autonomy regarding the rules that public schools operate under. And this is, the pandemic, the rules associated with masking, social distancing, and getting the vaccine are at stake here. These are practices that the Springfield House bill. Let's see. And if you can call today, if you're listening to this live, my friends, call your Illinois state representative and urge them to vote no on House Bill 2789. House Bill 2789. Private religious schools should have some autonomy about basics. You know, you're not going to, no religious school is going to petition or desire to have to ignore rules that are truly well-founded and significant issues of genuine moral principles, genuine concern about the health and welfare of the students. And that's why this COVID pandemic is the perfect opportunity for people who have this worry about religious institutions that are standing in the way of a kind of secularized, atheistic, agnostic takeover of society in general. We'll leave it at that. So anyways, getting back to Thomas Madden's very wonderful teaching on the Inquisition, he goes on to try to explain a little bit more about in medieval Europe, which was the precursor to the 1500s, of course, he says that the secular, meaning the kings, queens, noblemen, the civil authorities, and the church leaders in medieval Europe approached heresy in different ways. Roman law equated heresy with treason, right? Even if you can go back to the Roman Empire, that's why the Christians got fed to the lions or bears or whatever animals they used. I think different animals, not always lions, of course, were used. But that Roman law equated heresy with treason. If you are going to say the king is not a god, that in essence is a theological statement. Do you agree the emperor is God, is divine, or do you not? And if you disagreed with it, your religious belief would be considered treason, right? Because kingship was God-given, now as Catholicism and Christianity takes over in Europe, but it didn't do away with kings or emperors, it just kind of belief in theology was in a kind of a partnership more. And actually holding on to a monarchy was considered something that God ordained. God wanted the monarchy. That made heresy a great challenge to royal authority, right? Because those who would disagree with theology and moral issues of the day would divide the people. And of course, the king wanted a united kingdom. No Christian doubted that God would punish a community that allowed heresy to take root and spread. Kings and commoners, therefore, had good reason to find and destroy heresies where they found them. And some did so with great gusto. One of the most enduring myths of the Inquisition is that it was a tool of oppression imposed on unwilling Europeans by a power-hungry Catholic Church.
Wow.
Yeah.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
That is incredibly brain-wrinkling. And Thomas Madden goes on to say, nothing could be more wrong. Okay? It's the exact, he's taking on Monty Python and what's known as the Black Legend. We're going to get to that in a second. One of the most enduring myths of the Inquisition is that it was a tool of oppression imposed on unwilling Europeans by a power-hungry hierarchy, Pope on down, right? Nothing could be more wrong. That's a lesson. That's taking the red pill, my friends. That if you could see, if you study history and you look at it objectively, that's what we consider taking the red pill. Of course, many of you know that red pill comes from the movie The Matrix, which, Nick, you don't have to play that right now, but we've played it many times. So, anywho. Okay, in truth, the Inquisition brought order, justice, and compassion to combat rampant secular or civil and popular persecutions of heretics. In other words, the crowds would demand the blood of people they would want to call out as heretics. And the civil authorities, whether it's a monarchy or not, whether it was the king or a nobleman of some kind, would often go along with them. When the people of the village rounded up a suspected heretic and brought him to the local lord, how was he to be judged? How could a crowd, many times illiterate lay people, determine if the accused beliefs were heretical or not? How were witnesses to be heard and examined? These are the questions behind the establishment of these things. So the medieval inquisitions, they began way back when Pope Lucius III, how about that one? Pope Lucius III in 1184. So that's almost 500 years before the Spanish Inquisition. Pope Lucius III sent a list of heresies to Europe's bishops and commanded them to take an active role in determining whether those accused of heresy were in fact guilty. In other words, the Pope was trying to squell or calm down the fury of many of the mobs and lords who wanted too many people killed. So rather than relying on secular courts, local lords, or just mobs, bishops were to see to it that accused heretics and their dioceses were examined by knowledgeable churchmen using Roman laws of evidence. In other words, they were to inquire, right? Inquire, make an investigation, hence the word inquisition. Anyways, this hour is going. I have a feeling this is going to be one of a few part series. We're not going to finish this in one brief hour of Winds of Change Radio. Excellent. So we're at the bottom of the hour, and so therefore we're going to take our next break. If Nick, you're ready to roll, I am Father Tom Coys. You are listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Every parent has a dream of giving their children a great education and great faith. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, a nationally acclaimed Catholic leadership school, has made the dream easier for you to achieve. Here, leadership principles and lessons are an integral part of your child's coursework and school culture. Your child will study foreign languages, such as Mandarin, conduct experiments in real science labs, attend Eucharistic adoration, and more. Don't worry about affording a private education. St. Stanislaus Kostka School offers full tuition scholarships for kindergarten through eighth grade. Send your child to St. Stanislaus Kostka School, located just minutes from downtown Chicago. Dreams can come true, but you need to call today, 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Tom Coys here. We are going back into history to set the record straight about something that's always quite confusing, and that is the Spanish Inquisition. No one expects the Spanish Inquisition, as Monty Python would point out. In my explanation here, and what I'm sharing with you is a wonderful article by Thomas Madden. Not that we could wipe away every ounce of guilt on the part of every incident or every player in the Spanish Inquisition, but that the general narrative is way wrong, and way that the condemnation of just the Catholic Church in being wrong in different ways is way disproportionate to the way much of Europe and many other countries and many, especially secular institutions, were also way wrong or way even more cruel. That's one of the main points. So somebody who finds problems with the Catholic Church, actually this could be applied really to anybody's denomination, but those who find problems, and not saying there are none, right? There are problems in Catholicism, but they'll turn away or say, I'm not going to participate in that part of social life. And they don't have the ability to say that about politics, for instance. You could not vote, you could not pay attention to politicians, but you can't absent yourself from the world created by politicians. In other words, the country you live in and the rules and laws you have to obey. Obviously, one of the reasons why is because civil authority has the right to punish you in ways that the church doesn't. Now, and again, I want to remind you, as we try to apply some lessons from history to our world today, the form of punishment that is involved in this church disputes today is nowhere near burning at the stake. It is the rather mild punitive action of saying you're not supposed to take Holy Communion when you go to Mass. As I said, I think earlier in the hour, that that kind of punishment is hardly a punishment for people who don't go to church, right? Except when they're at church for maybe a wedding or a funeral or a quinceañera or something of the sort, tell someone they can't do something and all of a sudden they have a desire to do it. Every Sunday morning, they have no desire to receive Holy Communion, but go to a wedding and all of a sudden there's a great desire to receive Holy Communion. And if they're told or intimated that they shouldn't take communion, they find that to be quite offensive, right? You know, that's what I'm talking about. So anyways, to drive home the fact that this bad interpretation of the Spanish Inquisition is held by so many people. And I got to share with you this little clip from someone who you know that I quote and talk about quite a bit now, hold in very high regard. That is the famous and popular Dennis Prager. He gets it wrong, I think primarily because so many of the Christians he hangs around and talks with and has as guests are Protestant Christians, and his understanding of Christianity comes primarily from Protestant Christians. So he does have a bit of this misunderstanding of the Spanish Inquisition, though he's very specific in this little clip that I want to show you, and I'm glad he sort of gets, since he's calling out a specific issue, namely the let's listen to him. You'll hear. Let's see if we can get it going here. If I can let you be into this.
Yep, it's a very disturbing thing, this Penelope Cruz thing. And if there's anybody who has, you know, you follow her on Twitter, you just say you have joined the ranks.
Okay, I got to stop you. Penelope Cruz, this was a few years back under Obama administration. Penelope Cruz was condemning Israel for defending itself from rocket attacks. This was 6 or 7 years ago, and by George, gosh, it just happened a couple weeks ago here now, depending on when you're listening to the show. But Penelope Cruz was saying, well, the Palestinians are firing rockets into Israel because Israel is committing genocide. So that's what Dennis Prager is reacting to. But He makes reference to the Spanish Inquisition. And so that's what I, okay, let's see. Here we go again.
Of Scott. The propagandist for evil. And this is no different from accusing the Jews of using Christians' blood for their holidays. Just let her know that. There has to be pushback. It's unbelievable.
See that? He's right in pointing out a specific example of a wrong done to the Jews during the 1500s, 16th century, shall we say, just in general. And it's good that he uses such a specific example as the accusation. If you were anti-Semitic in Europe in general, but in Spain specifically, if you were anti-Semitic, some would say, well, these Jews have to be exiled. They have to be put on trial because they even use blood obtained from Christians to make their matzo balls or anything else that they would use. And of course, that would come from the populace. That would come from the mob attack against Jews. So if we continue a little bit further with Thomas Madden, we'll get a much better picture, and we will see really how the typical Protestant understanding of the Inquisition, which Dennis Prager and other shows too, I didn't have time to find some of his clips. he actually challenges some of the Protestant Christian friends of his show at their understanding of Catholicism, really. And he's just saying, well, I'm an outsider of both. So I think he even has a more objective approach to Christianity than some of the Protestant writers and authors that he sometimes has on his show. Be that as it may, let's continue with a good examination about the Inquisition. So as shepherds, the popes and the bishops had a duty to bring the sheep back into the fold. If there's a heresy, a heretic, someone who's really preaching bad theology, bad morality, a good priest, good bishop, good pope have a duty to try to correct their errors, just like Jesus in the gospel commanded his apostles. So while medieval secular leaders...
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Yeah, that's a brain-wrinkling point there, too. The church was trying to save souls, while the secular leaders were trying to save their kingdom. They were trying to keep unity at all costs. That's kind of a major distinction between the church leaders and the secular leaders. The church is more willing to see a nation or a kingdom or a principality, earthly principality, crumble than it is to see souls go to hell. But of course, a civil leader's main concern would be to keep his kingdom alive, right? So we got to look at the Spanish Inquisition, which provided a means for heretics or accused heretics of escaping death to return to the community. The church was sort of stepping in the way of the violent mob with the more controlled Inquisition. So here we go again. It's another break time. And by George, this is going to have to be a long, a series of podcasts, my friends. We're just going to, it's just too, it's too interesting and it's too relevant for today to pass over any of the important details, right? So let's take our third break, and we'll come right back. I'm Father Tom Coyes. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loyal.
Another venerable sanctuary of positive male development has caved to the forces that seek to deny God's order of sexual complementarity. Boy Scouting is now just Scouting, as it has become mandatory for Boy Scouting to include girls and female Scout leaders. The same coup, however, has not befallen Girl Scouting, as they proudly reaffirm their mission to serve girls only. It is just another repeat of the Garden of Eden. Like Eve and the serpent, womanhood has fallen for another bad line. For men to develop into authentic men capable of loving, protecting, cherishing, and serving womanhood, separateness is needed. Boys and men need venues in which males learn from other males how to be real men. Invading domains of proper male development neither serves or complements womanhood. It says that maleness is the standard, and unless women are wherever a man is at all times and in all things, womanhood has no intrinsic value of its own. It is also saying that the guys have put together a more desirable product than the girls. Why doesn't Girl Scouting suffice for the girls? The rules and standards do in fact change whenever girls are inserted into venues designed exclusively for male development. In the end, it is womanhood that is denied that authentic, fully developed male that God intended for her from the beginning.
We are the students of St. Stan Lakoska Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to The Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving is one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Tom Coyes here, dealing with a rather sticky topic, but once you get over certain modern prejudices and try to look objectively, things take on a different hue, a different color. You know, and I'm constantly referring you to think of things that are going on in our church today, the different investigations, the different discipline actions by bishops over some of their priests or lay people, etc. The pressure that certain civil authorities are exercising over our bishops is difficult to withstand. We got to pray so very hard for our bishops to know how to deal with that kind of pressure. Let me remind you once again today, which is I'm recording this on May 26th. The Illinois House of Representatives down in Springfield is set to vote. I don't know if they will or not. It might be going on right about now, but they're set to vote on a bill called Bill 2789. Call your Illinois state representative and say, please vote no to this bill that will remove certain kind of it's a kind of exemption for religious schools to operate according to their religious principles. In other words, to not be a public school. It's hard to get around it. That's so. Anyways, all these issues are floating around today, and I think it's good to review what happened back in history and how what's called the Black Legend. It's still alive today, and actually, it's part of the Black Legend. Real briefly, is that negative attitude about anything from Spain, by and large, by anyone from English-speaking countries like England and the United States. This crazy tragedy today is that so many people from South America and Mexico, many of the Latinos, as we often refer to our friends, many of the Latinos have bought the Black Legend. They should be the ones who are quickest to explain the Black Legend is a myth. We shouldn't be so afraid of anything from Spain, but the fantasy about how great and wonderful life in the United States is, and can't blame him for thinking of that. It is such a beautiful place to live, but that doesn't mean everything from Spain is wrong. And of course, that's what is part of the anti-Catholic spirit that can indeed live not only in the United States, but down in Mexico and all parts of South America as well. So any of my Latino friends who are listening to Winds of Change, please keep this point alive and well, and verse yourself in defending Catholicism against the wrong interpretation of Catholicism. Here we go. Let's go back here with a little bit of time we have left. We're just getting an introduction into this topic. Here's one more connection before going back to Thomas Madden's. another connection I see, you know, the fact that the great punishment today is the telling people not to receive communion, a very light, shall we say, punishment, not at all corporal punishment in the typical sense of the word. So it reminds me, and that our bishops are hesitant to even use this form of discipline. I got to make a parallel to parents when you're trying to discipline your children. Obviously, all parents have to deal with children who do wrong things, children that rebel, children that offend. Either they they're misbehaving with their siblings, or they're misbehaving in school, they're misbehaving with their playmates, or even against mom and dad themselves. You try to do some form of punitive discipline, and so and obviously today, I think we'd all agree that quick corporal punishment, especially severe corporal punishment — I'm not talking about a slap on the butt or other such slight corporal punishment — but even if you did no corporal punishment, you still want to try to use, I like to say, creative discipline measures with your children, right? So instead of slapping or hitting them or any kind of corporal punishment, you say, what parent wouldn't want to use the kind of disciplinary action that we might say, go to bed without supper, right? You have to go to bed without supper. You're not going to have dessert. Some other form of light disciplinary action, you know. I've even told some parents when they have challenged, and they don't want to do the corporal punishment difficulty — God bless them for that spirit — but they, and their words don't seem to be having the effect they want to with their children. So I say, you know what you got to do is, especially if you have other children, when you prepare dinner, it's a variation on the "you got to go to bed without supper" discipline. And when you're preparing supper and you're going to serve fried chicken, you serve fried chicken to all the other children, but the one you're mad at, or the one who needs to be told that he did something wrong, you make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And so when you set out the fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, you get a little bit of coleslaw, a little bit of cranberry sauce, And then you set a peanut butter and jelly sandwich in front of Junior, who refuses to apologize for smashing his brother's toy, some kind of thing. You see what I'm saying? Is there's this mild form of punishment, and the idea in the church vis-a-vis people teaching wrong things, like that issue of do gay couples have a right to receive Holy Communion? There are many bishops in the church that are saying you have no right to deny them. And there's some bishops who are saying we have an obligation to deny them, as it were, as a form of helping them realize they're promoting saying something wrong. Maybe you're aware, maybe you're not, but that issue is being highlighted in a kind of a debate that's going on in the public realm, and it's a sad sort of situation. But we need to be aware of the debate going on between the Archbishop of Washington D.C., Wilton Gregory, and the Archbishop of San Diego, Corleone. They're taking the two sides, two opposite sides of that debate. So the Archbishop Corleone's his heavy hand is not that heavy, is what I'm trying to say. You're not supposed to take communion, which indicates something is going wrong. But please, let's dialogue. Let's talk about it until we can see that you're gonna understand that God made marriage a sacrament between a man and a woman only, and not between two men or two women, right? So the fact that there's wrong teachings now, as there were back in the 1500s and the 1300s, as always, but approaching this issue, we can certainly learn something. And that's this kind of lighter approach is what Thomas Madden is saying. Really, the hierarchy and the people of Spain, especially the priests and the Pope, were actually trying to do at that time. So that's a huge difference. That's a huge important distinction, that the Pope and the bishops, the priests, were trying to mitigate the mob action against those that would be accused of heresy. And one thing that I learned that I didn't even realize, as much of a student of history I am, that the Spanish Inquisition had two phases. And the first phase had only to do with Jewish people who were baptized. Those who were brought to a tribunal were only Jewish people who were baptized. Catholics were never brought to the tribunal, and Jews who weren't baptized were never brought to the tribunal. Jewish people who were never baptized didn't have to go to the tribunal because they weren't accused of what the Jewish people who were baptized were being accused of, and that is being baptized as just a way to gain kind of a upper hand business-wise. And then there was the phase when the Protestant Reformation kicked in. So as I thought, my friends, we're going to have to return to this topic once again. But in the meantime, I thank you for listening to Winds of Change. This is listener-supported The Winds of Change on WNDZ.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is wrought. It's time to be stirred. Let
time is now.